It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, you bet it is. Here we go. Coming to you live from the greatest country in the world. Broadcasting from the tippy top of the world famous Fox News headquarters in New York City. It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, a man who did not alter the White House transcript of Joe Biden's remarks yesterday. The president going viral for all the wrong reasons when he read the stage direction in the teleprompter.
Biden is such a disaster.
I'll say, but the transcript just came out moments ago, and they struck it from the record.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Trying to sweep a little dementia under the rug. It's obviously not the biggest fish we need to fry in this hour, but we'll have some fun because, let's face it, the world is on fire, and we're just here to roast some radio marshmallows, baby.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Boom. There it is. 888-788-9910 if you want a part of today's show. My final show in New York for the week. I am heading down to the D.C. swamp tomorrow.
Are you stupid or something?
No, ma'am. I'm going to be hosting the live coverage of the White House Correspondents' Dinner right there at the Hinckley Hilton from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern on Saturday night. They're sticking me in a tux, putting me on the red carpet, handing me a microphone and the keys to the network for 120 minutes of programming.
This could be a problem.
That'll be fine if we stay away from the open bar. But 888-788-9910 if you have any career advice. If you want to weigh in on the Biden transcript, we're also going to talk today about Biden's announcement. The president did speak yesterday about the Trump tax cuts.
I don't remember that ever happening.
But it did. And according to this transcript and these audio remarks, he's planning to repeal or let the Trump tax cuts expire.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
And I say that because according to the New York Times itself, back in August of 2019, when this tax cut went through, the New York Times published a piece titled, "Face It, You Probably Got a Tax Cut." If you're an American taxpayer, you probably got a tax cut last year, and there is a good chance you don't believe it. To a large degree, the gap between perception and reality on the tax cuts appears to flow from a sustained and misleading effort by liberal opponents to brand it as a broad middle-class tax increase.
That's just how white folks will do you.
And that's how they're getting ready to do you again, because if this tax cut expires this time around, you actually do get a tax increase in the middle class. So we'll discuss all of it and a lot more. Trump's on trial in Lower Manhattan. The Supreme Court also hearing opening arguments in his presidential immunity case. Brooke Singman, a superstar Fox News reporter, will join me to report on that in the third hour and give you a fascinating kernel of truth about the Trump trial that you won't hear anywhere else because we were told it's exclusive to this show. So how about that? And we're also going to have a grown-up talk with Gianno Caldwell about some new polling that is devastating for the president with black voters.
If you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
A lot of people losing their black card this week. 888-788-9910. You know the rules. You could be a Republican. You could be a Democrat. You could be a Libertarian. You could be an Independent. You could be a furry. We actually don't care. Fine. All we ask is that you don't be a boom. There it is. Happy Thursday. I know I sound a little caffeinated, a little fired up. I was up all night last night. We were shooting for my TV show, Fox News Saturday Night. If you saw the pictures on social media, myself and Emily Campagno were riding around Manhattan in a checker cab, talking to people, answering all kinds of questions. And then I got home and I played, I'm not even kidding, Lincoln is off from school this week. So I got home last night, maybe 1 a.m, and we spent an hour playing video games. We played some Xbox, me and the Link Man. And, you know, I kind of carried the team for most of the night, if we're being honest.
Shut your mouth.
But the point is, I'm happy to be here. A little bit sleep deprived, but when am I not sleep deprived? Fly into the storm is what we say on this show. But let's start here, because the White House trying to avoid, maybe fly around, maybe get to a different altitude, as a pilot might tell you, when it comes to the Biden disaster yesterday on the teleprompter. So you've probably seen this a billion times now if you're anywhere near the internet. Okay, Biden was trying to prop up his economic record, and they had written an emphasis line into the speech. What that means is, like, you know, you say something big and loud, and then you pause because the hype men in the crowd that are brought there and paid to cheer for you will start a chant. So that's how it's supposed to work. So in Biden's speech, they wrote in the word pause in parentheses to tell him to pause so the hype men can start their chant. What comes next can best be described as this is clip two.
I see an economy that grows from the middle out and the bottom up, where the wealthy pay their fair share, so we can have child care, paid leave, and so much more, and still reduce the federal deficit and increase economic growth. Folks, imagine what we can do next. Four more years.
Oh, no.
That was a hot mess inside a dumpster fire, inside a train wreck.
Four more years. Pause.
We have a president that is clearly not all there.
Oh, no. And the reason I'm leading with this, the reason this pops with me, I'm going to tell you a story later in this hour. I worked with a mega celebrity, an A-list celebrity. Some of you know this story, a lot of you don't. But I used to be the head writer for a TV show. It was called Gotham Comedy Live, Live at Gotham as well. Okay, it was on Comedy Central. It was also on Axis TV in the later iteration of the show. Axis TV, a music channel. They play a lot of live music. Some of you guys are familiar with it. It's a pretty great channel. Check it out. But what Live at Gotham was doing at the time is they were putting on comics that were good that you'd never heard of. Guys who work the clubs in the city, headline around the country, but don't necessarily have their own sitcoms or not in big movies. So in order to boost the audience for the show, you'd get these killer comics, and then they'd bring in an A-list celebrity who could headline the event and bring audience to the show. So you'd get guys like William Shatner, you know, David Hasselhoff was a big deal at that point, you know, the Mike Tysons of the world. They'd bring out these big name, you know, TV personalities, and they'd be the reason you tuned in. And while you tuned in to hear Shatner berate, you know, Star Trek fans, you know, it would, you know, in between, you'd sprinkle in four really good comics. And you go, wow, this is a pretty good show. So I appeared on that show several times, including the very first episode of the show, which is a very high honor. And because I had a penchant to write a lot of material, they eventually hired me to be the celebrity monologue writer. And what that meant is each week they would hand me a celebrity, and I'd have 5 days to turn them into a comedian. Whether they had a background in comedy or not was irrelevant. I just had to write them a set based on their life that they could deliver to the audience. Well, lo and behold, a major A-list celebrity did what Biden did and read the stage direction in the prompter. One of the funniest things you'll ever see, because they thought it was written that way on intentionally to make the celebrity look ditzy and aloof. But back to them in a minute, because let's talk about the president. So understand, when Biden says four more years, pause. Four more years, pause. Okay, if you listen closely, you can hear everybody in the press team smacking themselves in the forehead with an open palm. But the bigger issue is what happens today. So as everyone in the world is mocking this video, okay, the White House gave the official transcript, and the official transcript removes the word pause and now writes in inaudible.
You are so full of sh**.
So the transcript reads as, imagine what we could do next, four more years, in parentheses, inaudible. Instead of four more years, pause.
This is politics as usual.
Because they don't want to embarrass the guy. But do you understand, being a leader of the free world, okay, isn't about how you manipulate the transcript. Okay, it matters, because some people are just going to read the transcript and report on it. You know, but in truth, okay, winning the day in print media is not nearly as important to a president and the well-being of this country as being cognitively senient, as being perceived by the rest of the world as a guy whose elevator goes all the way to the top floor.
That's true. That is true.
Okay, believe me, Xi Jinping, everybody exploiting our border, everybody invading Ukraine, everybody encircling Taiwan, everybody lobbing missiles into Israel, does not go to the White House transcript to form an assessment of Joe Biden's cognitive abilities. No, ma'am. They watched the same frickin' video that the rest of the world saw.
That is correct.
So they don't go, wow, Biden said something inaudible there, and then they just started chanting four more years. No, they all go, oh, dude, that guy just read the stage direction.
This man needs a retirement home and a warm bowl of soup.
Okay, this is a day after he told the false story about driving an 18-wheeler for the 100th time. Clip four.
I tell you what, and by the way, is that right?
The only reason I have a pension is because of you.
Well, we did get that done. Anyway, besides, I used to drive an 18-wheeler.
Biden, okay, and this has been fact-checked by every outlet known to man, including CNN.
CNN is the worst.
Maybe so, but Biden never drove an 18-wheeler. Not on a boat, not on a goat, not on a train, not on a plane. We can't even confirm that he once stuck a quarter in a tractor trailer that sits outside a supermarket that little kids get to sit in and pretend they're driving. Like when you ride the horse or you go in the space rocket. Okay, he didn't even do that. Okay, here is Biden. And this is a montage we put together about the national debt. And we're talking about all over the map. Okay, in the past month, he's apparently cut the national debt by $1.7 trillion, and he also claims he cut the deficit in half.
That is a fact check false.
Now, just so we're all on the same page, the deficit has gone up about $4 trillion under Joe Biden. But here it is, clip one.
By the way, you know, you hear ads of the big spending Joe Biden. In 2 years, I reduced the debt $1.7 billion. First one to cut the federal debt by $1.7 trillion. $1.7 trillion cut. I cut the national debt so far. Over $1.3 trillion. $1.7 trillion. Let me say it again. $1.7 trillion. Lowering the federal debt.
I cut the deficit. $1.7 trillion. Cut the debt. $1.7 trillion.
Cut the federal deficit by another $1.5 trillion. Year. The biggest decline in a single year ever in American history.
Everything he just said to you, everything he just said to you was a lie.
Correctamundo.
Everything. Every single word he just said. But that's who the guy is. So you've got this faction of Biden's brain that's delusional and tells you his uncle got eaten by cannibals. Then you've got the one that's too stupid to avoid the stage direction and the teleprompter. Then you've got the guy that's just a, you know, like a sociopath, like a lying sociopath. And that's something I've played you a million times that follows him all the way back to the 80s.
I went to law school on a full academic scholarship, the only one in my class to have a full academic scholarship. Went back to law school and, in fact, ended up in the top half of my class. I was the outstanding student in the political science department at the end of my year. I graduated with 3 degrees from undergraduate school and 165 credits, only needed 123 credits.
Biden now concedes he did not graduate in the top half of his law school class, that he does not have 3 degrees from college, and that he was not named outstanding political science student in college.
Oh, man.
This is Looney Tunes.
Looney Tunes?
That's all, folks.
I mean, really think about that. Okay. So he's lying about cutting the deficit by $1.7 trillion. He's lying when he says he cut the deficit by $1.5 trillion. He's lying when he says he cut the deficit by $1.7 trillion, $700 billion. He's lying when he says he cut the deficit in half. Okay. But the problem is the rest of the world doesn't form an assessment based on how the White House tries to clean up those lies. They listen to the montage I just played you. They see someone who is so brazenly political. You might hate Donald Trump. One of the reasons people liked him so much is because they were sick of traditional politicians. Okay, Trump's presidency was only possible because the establishment screwed up so much over the course of the last four decades, screwed the average taxpayer so much over the course of the last four decades that they left a crack for an outsider to get in there, which is one of the reasons why they're pushing as hard as they are to get him back out of there. Okay, they don't want him in office ever again, and they don't want anybody else who hasn't spent a lifetime in the D.C. swamp in office ever again, because what Biden just said in that montage was business as usual in Washington. I'm not telling you Trump was throwing a perfect game with the truth. My goodness gracious. Okay, but the point is he wasn't selling out the country to do it, and he didn't have Alzheimer's that we had to attempt to sweep under the rug so the rest of the world wouldn't laugh at our president. Okay, but the reality is it doesn't matter what the White House says, they're going to keep on laughing because we've got a buffoon that's sitting inside the White House.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
A show so good, it's frightening.
I got scared. I dropped my hot pocket.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Pull up a chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
Download From the Kitchen Table, The Duffys, at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Busy Thursday. The Escape from New York, which is a Kurt Russell movie. So the Biden clip that mattered yesterday, obviously, you know, there's the dementia thing and the stage direction and everything in between. But Biden actually talking about getting rid of the Trump tax cuts would be consequentially worse for you and your family. I wanted to read you some of this just so we're all on the same page. When Trump put tax cuts into effect in 2017, okay, the liberals, the media, everybody in the Democratic Party was like, he's selling us out to the rich.
That is a fact check false.
The Trump tax cuts gave 82% of Americans a tax cut. Do you know who actually paid more in taxes because of the Trump tax cut? The rich.
Bingo.
Okay, why? Because it eliminated state and local tax deductions known as SALT taxes, which meant if you live in a big fancy house and pay high property taxes, you could only deduct the first $10,000 of your property taxes. Now, as crazy as this might sound to some of you in the middle of the country, there are people on the coast who pay millions of dollars in property taxes. Okay? And if you lose that deduction, your actual taxes go way up. So a lot of people living in big fancy houses got smoked, not smoked, but they paid more. Okay? But the law basically overhauled the tax code. And it took the top individual tax bracket to 37% from 39.6%, okay? And it nearly doubled the size of the standard deduction. So what ultimately happened over the course of those years is the lowest 20% of income earners grew the highest rate of household wealth in the history of the country. So the Trump tax cuts, good for the little guy. A little rougher on the big guy. They didn't decimate him. It's not like, you know, crushing corporations with a $22 minimum wage at McDonald's. But the point is, Biden's vowing to repeal him. Why? Because he's an idiot.
Correctamundo.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla fired up on a Thursday. I'm laughing. I'm delirious. So I got to tell you this story. I promised you off the tippy top of the show. I keep my campaign promises around here. If I've ever promised you something on the show, whether it was like meeting your dog or coming to your town or, you know, you'd some type of favor from I have come through on literally everything.
I think he's got a point.
Okay, the only person I break promises to are myself. I'm like, Jimmy, I'm telling you, this is the summer. You're going to get in shape.
Wrong.
All right, fine. Jimmy, this is summer. You're not going to drink so much Michter's on the patio. You'll feel better Monday morning.
Wrong.
No, me and my me and myself, not on speaking terms right now. But we had a great night last night with the Link Man. So Gotham Comedy Live was a TV show. I mentioned this earlier because of the Biden teleprompter bit. Let me play you this Biden teleprompter bit again, just so you're up to speed on what's happening. The president spoke yesterday, and at the end of a line, there was something called stage direction in the teleprompter. Now, that happens. That, like, I host a TV show. I can tell you, like, when I'll write my monologue for the Saturday Night Show, I rip in and out of it. I kind of deliver it to you off the top of my head. But when my eyes dart over to the teleprompter, there's sometimes a note in there. Like, hey, this is, you know, you got 30 seconds till commercial break. You follow me on that? So this would be the equivalent of Biden reading, you know, and we're going to build out the economy 30 seconds till commercial break. You're obviously not supposed to say that part out loud. Okay. And, you know, a functioning brain would tell you that. Biden has been working off teleprompters, to be clear, for 50 years longer than I have, but still does not know not to read the stage direction. So yesterday at his speech, he's making the case for his economy. And understand, they have built in a pause. Okay, they want him to pause at the end of an emphasis point, meaning you make a big sweeping declaration, and we can turn this country around, you know, and everybody cheers. And they have paid hype men that are there in the crowd to cheer where they've been told to cheer ahead of time. So Biden yesterday, okay, makes a statement about the economy, and then they've put in the teleprompter the word pause as a note to him to pause so the hype men can start cheering. Here it is, except for one small problem. Biden read the stage direction that was not supposed to be heard out loud.
That was embarrassing.
I mean, it was funny. Clip two.
I see an economy that grows from the middle out and the bottom up, where the wealthy pay their fair share, so we can have child care, paid leave, and so much more, and still reduce the federal deficit and increase economic growth. Folks, imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years.
Have you ever had a checkup?
Oh, no. Four more years. Pause.
No. You cannot be serious.
I'm serious. Okay, that's who's in charge of the country right now. Four more years, pause. So this takes me back, and I wanted to share this story. Gotham Comedy Live, it was a show on Comedy Central. It was a show on Access TV. Okay, I was writing for it when it was on Access TV. They'd have a celebrity every week host the show, and you'd write about, you know, a stand-up routine for them that they would then deliver the night of the show. That was the hook. They'd have an A-list person who was not a stand-up comic, but could bring eyeballs to the broadcast, so they were booked as the host, and they would need to perform, you know, at the top of the show, and that's that. So, you know, some of the coolest people, William Shatner, I think I've told you this, the only time I've ever left the country with my wife, we were over in Italy. I was day drunk next to the Roman Colosseum, the Forum Bar, and I was hammered. I was drinking a Campari Spritz. It sounds fancy. It's the fanciest drink I've ever had on a taxi driver's salary. It was actually pretty pricey, if we're going to be honest. But there I was, just completely annihilated at this bar with Jenny Fallo looking at the Roman Coliseum. I get a call on my phone, a Los Angeles area code. I pick it up. And it goes, Jimmy Fallon, this is William Shatner, Captain Kirk. We've got a problem on the Starship Enterprise. And I was like, oh, come on. I'm like, I'm hammered in Rome, but this sounds pretty convincing. And he's like, yeah, you know, I heard you're the head writer for a TV show back east called Gotham Comedy Live. I'd love you to come back and write my celebrity monologue this week. I was like, oh, get out of here. I'm on like a honeymoon with my wife, basically. And he's like, well, we need you to come home. I was like, wait, so beam me back, Scotty. And he essentially said yes. And I flew back across the pond and met with Shatner and wrote his monologue. And he was phenomenal. No one has ever done a better job of delivering something I've written for them than William Shatner. In fact, okay, when we worked on this project, the first thing we did the day we met is, at the time he was 85 years old. He's 93 now. Okay, I interviewed him over the summer. It was fascinating because he's as sharp at 93 as he was at 85. But when I met him in L.A. At the time, I said, okay, well, you know, you're William Shatner. You got all these TV roles. You've got all these endorsements. You've got all these, you know, spinning plates. I said, is there anything off limits you don't want me to make fun of? And he goes, look, kid, he goes, I'm 85 and I don't give a f-. That's what he said to me. I said, listen, I said, if you really feel that way, and I could sense that he did, I said, we will open the monologue with that exact line. I said, I'll tell you a little bit about me. I'm 85, and I don't give a f-. And that's exactly what he did at Gotham Comedy Live. And crushed, murdered. Oh, nobody ever delivered jokes better. Like, nobody. He was that good. Which brings me to Pamela Anderson. So Pamela Anderson is cool and as sweet of a human as you could hope to meet. Just a total badass. But on the night of Gotham Comedy Live, she was initially reading her stage direction in the teleprompter. So it was like, hello, welcome to Gotham Comedy Live. Please hold for applause. You know, I'm Pamela Anderson. Step to the left. You're out of the camera shot. And the crowd was like, oh, my gosh, ditzy blonde routine. This is really funny. Except there was only one small problem. We didn't write that into the actual routine. She was just accidentally reading it. And it was funny. And it came off as ditzy and silly. And she crushed. They loved her. She took pictures for with everybody there, including a pretty solid one with me.
Hubba, hubba.
Not bad. You can probably see it on my social media, at Jimmy Fallon. If you go on Twitter, it's right there in my media section. You'll see me and Pam. But the point is, she was accidentally reading the stage direction, and it was funny because she was Pamela Anderson, and she was doing a comedy show. Okay, when the president of the United States is actually reading the stage direction in front of the whole entire world.
That can't be good.
Not good. So it takes me back, but it also takes me back, you know, in a warm way for Pam, but in a sad way for our country. Because the guy in charge is not performing at Gotham Comedy Live, although he has become a bit of a comedy show, if we're going to be honest.
He knows what he's talking about.
Moving forward now. So Biden announces that Trump tax cuts are going to expire. This is consequential to you, okay? Trump paying Stormy Daniels in singles instead of by check, not nearly as consequential to you.
When you're right, you're right, and you're right.
I'm not saying anybody should be above the law. I'm not saying I got to throw out the case. I'm not saying any of that. I'm not a legal expert. Brooke Singman is covering the trial, okay? She will be here with us in the third hour to talk about it. But you understand, when CNN is now saying a case like this has never been brought before and the construct of this case is garbage, do you understand this really speaks to just how much of a kangaroo court, just how much lawfare and political persecution we are witnessing in Lower Manhattan? Understand, I've played you Jonathan Turley clips. I've had Paul Morrow come on. I can give you Fox legal analysts whose party, okay, just so we're all on the same page, is America. Fox is popular, okay, across the broadest spectrum of television viewers, not because we lean to the right. Our party is not the Republican Party. Our party is America.
Freedom!
And I say that, why? Because we bring on liberals and let them say whatever the hell they want, and you guys go crazy. If you don't believe me, read my comments when Jessica Tarloff's on the show. Oh, my God, I have Jessica Tarloff on the show for 30 seconds. Every comment is...
Get her out. Get her out of here.
Seriously. Okay, that's, you know, assuming they're nice. Most of the time, the comments are like,
what would you do with a brain if you had one?
But anyway, okay, the reason you'll hear Trump criticizing us from time to time, the reason you'll hear the Republican Party criticizing us from time to time, is we don't owe them a blank check of loyalty when it comes to covering them and rating their decisions. Okay, and that's why we have so much currency with the American public comparative to an MSNBC or a CNN. Okay, they are activists masquerading as journalists, and they're there to not report on Biden reading the stage direction and the teleprompter. They're there to not report on the Hunter Biden laptop story, to tell you that it was Russian disinformation. Okay, they denied you the right to discuss it in the run-up to the election. They said, we will not share this story. It is Russian disinformation. Now, here's a newsflash for you, just so we're all on the same page. The FBI corroborated the Hunter Biden laptop in 2019. So when MSNBC and CNN were saying Russian disinformation in 2020, they knew they were lying.
That's true. That is true.
So start with MSNBC, okay? Filter it on down to CNN. And what you understand is they have, okay, absolute performance art gig. And what that means is the news happens and they go, how do we act like this is good for Democrats? How do we act like letting the Trump tax cuts expire would be good for the country as a whole? How do we do that? We use terms like, you know, sell out to the rich, Wall Street fat cats, white supremacy, the patriarchy, all the garbage. But the fact of the matter is the Trump tax cuts made the lowest 20% of income earners the highest accumulators of household wealth. People at the bottom made more money because of the Trump tax cuts. So you understand him making them lapse really bad for the average worker. That's just reality. Now, listen, Trump does things that we have to criticize, and he gets mad and he'll tweet about the channel, take a shot at somebody like me.
This guy will say anything.
But we don't get on the air, okay, as the Donald Trump Defense Fund. We've got to, you know, call balls and strikes, as we do. That being said, CNN has destroyed its business because of just how far in the tank it was for the Democrats. It became unwatchable. Because the Jim Acostas of the world, the Don Lemons of the world, Chris Cuomo, remember Chris, that jackass, okay? Those guys were on CNN every single night talking about Donald Trump like it was teenage girls who got dumped by somebody. Oh my gosh, did you see what Donald did? I heard Donald was like colluding with Russia. That's what I heard.
It was made up by these sick people.
Oh my gosh, did you hear Donald? He slandered dead veterans. Like, who does that?
It was made up by these sick people.
All of it. Totally. Okay. But you understand, their public trust in their network cratered. Cratered. Because of who they became. Their emotions became their facts. They catered to people who were tuning in for a confirmation bias that would tell them what they wanted to hear. Trump's going to jail. The kids are going to testify.
People aren't buying it, CNN, you dumb bastard.
So understand that is who CNN has been for the entirety of Trump's life in politics. But when you hear a CNN legal analyst breaking down the case in Lower Manhattan yesterday, what you're hearing is the actual truth. That's the good news. The bad news for this analyst is they'll probably never get booked on CNN again.
I agree with that.
But believe me, Jed Sugarman was not brought on CNN to say what you're about to hear. Clip 9.
There's no reported case. I've checked the records of state cases. There's no state case that shows a state prosecutor using the Federal Election Campaign Act, which is really the crime that the prosecutors are alleging here, a federal election violation, federal campaign filing violation, as the basis, either directly or indirectly, for any crime. So that is a first example of what's unprecedented here. And this is not just a coincidence. There are good reasons why a federal prosecutor has complete control to the exclusion of the states for enforcing something as complicated as the Federal Election Campaign Act.
I admire your honesty.
He's telling you the truth. Okay, this is absurd. This is unprecedented. But let's take it a step further. Clip 10.
The second problem is that there is no example of this statute that relies on an intent to defraud being such a broad general public. The idea that one would be defrauding the general public or voters, there's no precedent for using it for election interference.
See that? And here is the third clip. This one's a little bit long. It's about 40 seconds. But the case he's trying to make here is that this is an unprecedented case that's not being made in accordance with the law. Okay? You've got a local prosecutor trying to charge with a federal crime. And in order to do so, he's claiming that his local crime was committed to conceal a federal crime. Except there's one small problem. He's not telling us what the federal crime is.
This is total crap.
That's what Jed Sugarman's saying. Here's clip 11.
The final problem is the use of this statute. Basically, what the business filing violation is a misdemeanor with intent to defraud. It becomes a felony only if the prosecutors can show an intent to commit or conceal another crime. The Trump lawyers pointed out, made an argument that in New York, there is a problem with trying to use the filing, the misfiling, to upgrade it to a felony relying on another jurisdiction. And the Manhattan DA could only point to two examples, neither of which is a judicial interpretation. So it's an untested theory. Those two cases, one was a guilty plea and one was a jury instruction. Neither one counts as a judge hearing an argument and ruling on it.
Which is a very fancy way of saying what Donald Trump is engaged in is a clown show. They shouldn't be hitting him with the law or a jury of his peers. They should be hitting him with a bucket of confetti. Because as legal prosecutions go, this one belongs in size 25 shoes.
Taking the edge off, one story at a time.
America needs to learn how to lighten up.
You're hanging out with Jimmy Failla on Fox Across America.
Oh, girl, there it is. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla wrapping things up in New York. And then headed down to the D.C. swamp. We will be broadcasting live Saturday night for 2 hours from the red carpet at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. A lot of your Fox News faves scheduled to appear on the show. I'm talking Shannon Bream, Sandra Smith, Katie Pavlich. I mean, you heavy hitters. Peter Ducey, Jackie Heinrich, Hillary Vaughn, like anybody who covers the White House, anybody who shines here on the channel, all going to be joining me on the red carpet. So it's going to be a banger. Check it out. My tux is picked out, and it was, to be honest with you, I'm wearing something very tasteful. Listen, by my standards, my goodness gracious, it's tasteful.
That's true. That is true.
So that's enough out of you. But in the next hour, we will not be giving Jimmy a fashion review. We're going to be talking to Gianno Caldwell about why Biden is losing the black vote, which is so significant in this moment. We're also going to be getting an exclusive from the Trump trial in Lower Manhattan via Brooke Singman, who has been covering the case. And, of course, we will keep you up to speed on all these immunity arguments being heard before the Supreme Court. The world's a mess. It is an absolute positive mess. But as we do every day on this show, we will continue to trudge our way through this stampede of stupidity and be your talk radio port in the storm. We're not here trying to win elections. We're not your enemy if you disagree with me, okay? We play on the same team. It's America, you know, Republican, Democrat, or anything in between. If there's a war tomorrow, we're all on the same side. I mean, maybe not the kids protesting up at Columbia right now, but the point is, if there's a war tomorrow, we're all in this together. So buckle up, Buttercup, and I'll see you on the front lines when we come back from break.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, and here we go. Big hour coming up of Fox Across America with your radio buddy, Jimmy Failla. We're going to be rapping with Gianno Caldwell, a Fox News contributor who saw the same polls I did this morning about Joe Biden losing black support.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
We'll also get you up to speed on campus protests, where cops down in Georgia are not taking it.
I'm sick and tired of all this bullshit.
Georgia cops swooping in on Emory University's anti-Israel mob, spraying tear gas, firing rubber bullets, zip-tying students, to which we say, love to see that happen at some of the Ivies here in New York. We've got Columbia. They've got all kinds of stuff going down in Texas. Greg Abbott also not putting up with this crap in Texas either.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
And to be clear, we support your right to peacefully protest. But if it actually is hate speech, like you're calling for the death of an entire race, as these pro-Hamas protesters are doing, that speech, not protected. Your right to clog a bridge, non-existent. You have a right to peacefully assemble. You don't have a right to get so violent and anti-Semitic that Columbia has to cancel classes for the remainder of the semester because nobody feels safe.
I think he's got a point.
Okay. Most people who have been watching this campus behavior just recognize it for what it is. It's a lot of spoiled, rich, white kids who grew up in a world without consequence. They were told yes their whole life, and their parents never beat them. Okay, and I'm not telling you to beat your kids, but it would help your kids to have a healthy respect for authority, which I can promise you the people clogging bridges and spitting on cops don't have that healthy respect.
Bingo.
So when you hear the pushback that you're starting to hear, okay, whether we're talking about Greg Abbott down in Texas, okay, or, you know, maybe even Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson showed up to Columbia yesterday. He got booed by the students, which is actually the best thing that's happened to Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, because you don't want to be cheered by a bunch of pro-Hamas idiots who don't even know what they're there on behalf of. Let me play you this clip. Okay, this is, you know, you talk about weapons grade stupid. Now, again, this is just one protester. This is not every single protest. Okay, but understand, this is one of the many people who've camped out, who want to voice their displeasure with their school because they think they support genocide. Now, understand, Israel is not calling for genocide. Israel has no issue with the Muslim community. They have 2 million Muslims living peacefully within Israel. Israel's not trying to get rid of any of them. They're not trying to attack them. Okay? On the other side of this thing is Hamas chanting from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. From the river to the sea means there's no more Israel. They're also chanting like, we need another infantada, okay? Kill more soldiers, okay? Kill more Jewish people. They are saying that. They are celebrating October the 7th, a day where Hamas paraglided into a rave and killed 2,000 unarmed civilians in horrific ways we won't even get into. They're celebrating that as some type of a pushback against oppression. So understand, half of these kids getting out there are just stupid, rich, white kids. The other are just stupid. Okay, protest in this country has become a branding exercise. And what that actually means is people now go to protests like it's a patch they're sewing onto a denim jacket, like it's a bumper sticker they're putting onto the back of a car. Okay, the same people who showed up to the Defund the Police rally are the ones that show up to the, you know, death to Israel rally, are the same ones that show up to the climate change rally. OK, they're all the same person. Scientists have a word for them. They're called losers. Here's a Columbia student weighing in on the protest. Tell me if this sounds like somebody well versed in the cause they're fighting for. Clip 23.
What is the main goal with tonight's protest?
I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine and demanding that NYU stops. I honestly don't know all of what NYU's doing.
Is there something that NYU's doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what NYU's doing?
About what?
About Israel. Why are we protesting here?
Palestine will be free!
I wish I was more educated.
I'm surrounded by idiots.
Is there something the school's doing? I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what? Why is the school doing? What are they doing about Israel? Why are we protesting here? And the other girl goes, I wish I was more educated.
That was embarrassing.
Okay. Now, there are also people there who do know every reason they claim to be there for. Okay. But that doesn't make them any smarter, because supporting a terror group is stupid. Okay, here is just another note. Okay, Ilhan Omar telling a crowd she's moved by the protesters' courage and bravery. Clip 22.
I am incredibly moved by your courage and bravery as a student body. Follow your gut and know that what we are doing, the voices that we are raising to save lives in Gaza, is a just and righteous and morally correct.
Garbage like you just makes me sick.
They're trying to save lives in Gaza. They're morally correct.
You're not telling me the truth.
No, they're not. Okay. Understand. Let's just break it down. We'll do it quick, man. Okay. I don't want to talk about terrorism all day. It's good gosh. It's Thursday. It's Thirsty Thursday around the country. This is a good night.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life.
It's not a bad way to go through tonight. You got the NFL draft on tonight. That's a big deal. Okay, we got two local New York teams in the playoffs. I'll be on my way down to D.C., but you know when the last time that happened? Not often. But I'm in a good mood, so I really don't want to give you a day full of terrorism, but it's, you know, you got to play the teams on the schedule. And the reality is, only one side has launched direct attacks on civilians. Only one side, okay, has put 41 babies in ovens. Only one side is intentionally targeting unarmed civilians, killing parents in front of kids, kids in front of parents, using rape as a weapon of war. According to the UN Human Rights Councils and the inspectors who've been in there, Hamas committed some of the most heinous human rights atrocities ever witnessed in the field of battle. Do you understand? That's who they are, and they're not doing it to soldiers. They're doing it to unarmed civilians. That's the point. They want to kill civilians, not because of the Israeli government, but because of the Jewish faith.
What can I tell you, kid? You're right. When you're right, you're right. You're right.
Israel is not engaged in a holy war. Israel is engaged in a stop beheading our civilians war. Hamas is trying to wipe out people of the Jewish faith and eradicate them from that part of the world. And the way they get support for something so hideous is by establishing a moral equivalency with stupid people. What I mean by that is stupid people in this country that are on TikTok, that are on Twitter, you know, that are being a part of the branding exercise that is protest, are easily manipulated, because the one thing they all have in common is these are losers. Okay, they want to belong to something where they feel cool, where they feel righteous, where they feel like they're making a positive difference in the world. So they latch on to these causes where people's emotions are their facts. Like defund the police, you understand, has no facts to support that police are killing unarmed black men or minorities at a higher rate than unarmed white men. In fact, they're killing more white men than anything, and it's not just because of population. The biggest thing I can tell you is that every single person who says cops are racist, we got to get rid of all of them, completely disregards the demographics of the modern police force, where in pretty much every major municipality in this country, they are now minority majority, meaning there are more minorities driving around in police cars than white people. Okay, and the reality is, when the cops go out there and interact with someone with a knife, someone with a gun, someone who just violently resists arrest when they're unarmed, they're not reacting to the color of the person's skin. They're reacting to the primal threat that they feel, or maybe one of the victims feels, in that moment.
Look, if you hate cops just because they're cops, the next time you get in trouble, call a crackhead.
But understand, nobody telling you we needed to get rid of the cops has any facts to explain why we needed to get rid of the cops.
Put up or shut up.
But they can't. Okay? They don't want to put up. They don't want to put up stats. Okay? Because stupid people don't require them to latch on to your idiotic cause. Take the case of Hamas. The way they're manipulating sentiment amongst the stupid self-righteous people is by pointing to all the civilian casualties that have been suffered in Gaza. Now, to be very clear, there have been a good amount of civilian casualties in Gaza. Why is that the case? Because when Israel is pelted by rockets from Hamas, okay, those rockets are being sent from locations that are heavily populated with civilians. This is by design. Now, you understand, Israel doesn't say, hey, I want to go kill a bunch of civilians. They actually drop leaflets in advance of every attack and let people know, get out of there because we're coming for the military installation. Okay? That's what they're doing. And understand, I'm not saying this is like a Fox News radio host who's trying to get you worked up one way or the other. Okay, I'm saying this as a guy who can quote President Bill Clinton, a pretty prominent Democrat, who used to get applause breaks for telling the truth about Hamas. Here it is.
Hamas is really smart. When they decide to rocket Israel, they insinuate themselves in the hospitals, in the schools, in the highly populous areas, and they are smart. So they try. So they, wait. So they try to put the Israelis in a position of either not defending themselves or killing innocents. They're good at it. They're smart. They've been doing this a long time.
I mean, think about that. That's Bill Clinton. He says Hamas is smart. Okay, and what he means by smart is how they're, basically rallying support for their cause. They do it through moral equivalency. Look, Israel's killing all these civilians, you guys. Okay, Israel doesn't have a choice. So here's the deal. Someone shooting missiles into your city, okay, you can either let your civilians get killed, or sadly, okay, and this is why war is so horrific, this is why you want peace through strength on the world stage, so you don't have to make decisions like this. Israel has to make a choice every day between some of their civilians getting killed or trying to take out the Hamas bad guys, which will, of course, sadly, result in the loss of life on the civilian side of Hamas. Now, that's sad. That's not good. it might make you feel better to know that these people elected Hamas into power. They voted for this. But again, okay, they didn't vote for this wanting to die. Okay, and Hamas is, in fact, a designated terror group. So when they go out as a designated terror group and intentionally attack unarmed civilians, no warning, okay, no quarter, okay, they're doing so because they believe in eradicating the Jewish faith. What Israel's trying to do is get them to stop doing it. And when people yell, oh, there needs to be a ceasefire, Israel should stop attacking Hamas. Do you understand we had a ceasefire on October 7th and Hamas paraglided in and killed 2,000 people? Does that sound like a group of folks interested in maintaining a ceasefire? But to take it a step further, okay, Hamas is holding 132 civilian hostages right now. Okay, women and children, babies. Is Israel doing that? No. One side has 132 unarmed civilians. The other has none. They're just trying to get the missiles to stop flying into their towns. Okay, and the people on the campuses in this country are not on the side of Israel, who was attacked and had 2,200 unarmed civilians killed. Not on the side of Israel. Okay, the only country in the Middle East that supports the values we hold as a country. Women driving, women voting, okay, women being able to show their face in public, you know, things like that. Okay, Hamas doesn't support that. Gay rights, Pride Month, we have Pride Year here in America. You had a pride parade in Gaza, be the shortest parade in history, okay? It would basically start on the roof of a building and end in a puddle 50 feet below. Not good, okay? And that's the reality. So you understand the people on the college campuses, the ones that are like, oh, we're righteous, we're just, we're setting the world straight, okay? They have one thing in common, every one of them. They're all stupid.
Call and speak to Jimmy now.
I'm trying to use the phone!
888-788-9910. You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Got a lot of dirtbag protesters in New York City. If you've been watching it on TV, you kind of wish the cops could just give them a wood shampoo and get rid of them. But it's not so easy, and no one knows better than a former member of the NYPD. Harold joins us from Raleigh, North Carolina. Harold!
Thank you, Jim, for taking my call. First and foremost, I would, if I was the mayor of New York City, I would not have my police officers going on private property to break up a fight or break up the disturbance
okay.
when they don't have qualified immunity.
Yeah, I know. That's a big
problem.
If
they go on that campus and hit one of these kids or they slip and fall, these cops are hanging out to dry. Columbia has a $30 billion endowment. They should pay for security and clean up their own campus.
That'd be nice.
That simple.
Yep. I agree with that. Go ahead. Take it away.
Yeah. Another thing, these brats that are running around these campuses complaining about America. What I have a problem with Fox because they never ask the right questions.
Ooh.
When they get one of these dummies on camera and they're talking to them, they should ask them simple. If you feel that strongly about Palestine, why don't you get on a plane, go to Palestine, Hamas will gladly give you a gun, and fight. It's that simple. If you feel that strongly about it, you need to go do it.
Oh. Well, the point they're all trying to make, because I agree with you, and none of them would obviously go do it. But they would tell you, well, we can't go because it's not safe. It's the genocide, and, you know, we don't want to be a part of that.
Okay.
They're not signing up for war duty. They're signing up for toothless protest duty, which is, you know, some of them are getting paid. It's all organized, and it's, again, it's pointless because, as you know, Colombia doesn't actually affect foreign policy, okay? And they're certainly not going to affect Israel's foreign policy. So it's really like this is the dumbest time there's ever been to be alive. I blame a lot of it on social media, but my question for you is, you know, you were walking these streets before social media. Were people always this dumb and we just didn't know it, or are we really circling the drain intellectually now?
No, pretty much most people, the school system is geared to miseducating all children, whether they're black, white, green, or purple.
Mm-hmm.
When I was walking the streets, when I was doing my foot posts, I retired in 04. Mm-hmm. I got hired in 84. Everybody didn't have a camera.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, some things just went unnoticed. But I think in general, the last 30, 40 years, the dumbing down of the American public, of the American population, has been in full force because you got people that don't know where the Jordan River is. They don't know where the Mediterranean Sea is.
Jordan River, that's where the Chicago Bulls play. Come on, man.
And one other thing, young man, I think Omar's daughter, Ilma, whatever her name is, goes to Columbia University, and she was proud of her daughter for taking a stand and being out there bothering with, you know, giving the police a hard time. She makes $172,000 a year. The kid's going to a $90,000 school, $90,000 a year college. The math doesn't add up, bro.
It's a good point, Harold. You still got it. I'm going to go do an investigation into Ilhan Omar's finances. Great stuff as always, brother. Stay safe out there. We will do it again soon. Gianno Caldwell coming in next. Harold was the setup man. It was Rivera to John Wetland, or Wetland to Rivera, if you were a Yankee fan in my day. But Gianno Caldwell dons the pinstripes next. There it is. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Reachable to you, the listener, at 888-788-9910. Brooke Singman going to be joining us a little bit later on. Some exclusive information on the Trump trial. You won't hear anywhere else. We got it like that on this. This is a big boy show. Like, you wouldn't think so from listening to me day in and day out. If I, like, you know, walk up to people on the street, I'm like, I'm telling you, I got a big-time radio show. They're like,
you are so full of sh**.
But I said, no, it's going good. Come on, man. We're making moves over here. But right now, as we try to have a conversation about what's going on around the country, you know, everywhere I look, it's so wild. Everywhere you look, you're like, oh, that one sucks. That one's terrible. I was about to play a clip, I'm not even kidding, from Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski.
No, God! No, God, please, no! No! No!
But I feel the same way as you, so understand, I didn't. I was going to play the clip, but I was like, you know what? Nah, I'm not in the mood. I'm not doing this to myself. So Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski, I'll just read you the articles, courtesy of Mediaite. Shout out to them for this fine reporting. So Joe Scarborough. And this is the headline. Morning Joe hosts praise Biden's speech, but ignore viral moment he went Ron Burgundy reading the teleprompter. I mean,
that was embarrassing.
So you understand, they ran. I could play the clip. It's 5 minutes long. Like, oh, what a speech. Ah, it's a great speech. What a good. Ah, that speech. I'm telling you, was amazing.
Not even close.
OK, the speech went viral. Because he accidentally read the stage direction on the teleprompter. The only reason anyone's talking about it. And they're literally sitting here on TV telling you what an amazing speech, how the American public will never be the same. I'm like, you're right. Because at this point, Mexico's building a wall to keep us out. People are like, I got to get out of here. This is not good, okay? It's a mess.
We have people in Washington that don't know what they're doing.
Joining us now is a man who does, a fan favorite here on Fox, the show, the TV, any platform we have, weather, doesn't matter, podcast, radio, just doesn't even matter. There's no stopping him. He is Gianno Caldwell. Hello, hello.
Hey, great to be with you, brother.
I'll say. I'm having a laugh, Gianno, because I'm sure you saw the clip of Biden reading the teleprompter.
Yeah, of course. How could you not? And I got to tell you, Jimmy, I hear all the things that you're saying about him, but we don't know if he might have did this intentionally. This is the most buzz he's gotten in a long time.
Well, that's funny. Assuming that wasn't his cocaine at the White House, because you get a buzz off that, too. You don't know.
The jury's still out on that, Jimmy.
We never got to the bottom of that. No, I think we did. Like, if you watch the State of the Union, I think it was his cocaine, the way they jacked him up for the State of the Union.
Yeah, but the way that his dog keeps biting people, we don't really know if it's his cocaine.
Commander's cocaine!
Yeah, Hunter might be very generous. I mean, look, he has another daughter.
I love this. This is why you booked Gianno on the show, because he's not just going to investigate the humans. He's going to get to the bottom of the animal mysteries as well. And we love that about you. Well, the thing I want to talk to you about resonates in your hometown of Chicago right now. The locals are basically infuriated because the government keeps spending money on migrants, basically in lieu of helping the local community. Have you caught that?
Oh, yeah, man. I got to tell you, this may actually impact the general election.
Yeah.
Which is something most people wouldn't even think, especially in Chicago. Mm-hmm. But what has happened, which I find to be quite interesting, is the black folks there, especially the black folks there, who voted for Mayor Johnson, and that's the reason why he won, because of that black support. And coupling that with Joe Biden and his lack of support of this community, they said enough is enough. The truth of the matter is, with the migrant crisis, Mayor Johnson's message is very clear. Everybody else get on the back of the bus, here they're getting on at the front. And it's really a smack in the face to many people across the country who have come here legally, mm-hmm. spent thousands of dollars, waited years in line like, you know, they're supposed to. And now you get a report coming out of Denver where asylum seekers are now telling the government there, hey, you only want to give us 6 months of free rent, 6 months of free food, and 6 months of money. What a slap in the face. Where's our reparations? You know,
it's a bit of a gratitude problem. It's crazy.
It's just quite insane at this point. I mean, up is down and down is up. Yep. So here we are with something that could potentially flip the election in favor of Donald Trump, because that's what a lot of the African Americans there are actually saying. They're going to vote for Trump or not vote at all.
Yeah, I mean, either one is such a disaster, because, and this is something you wrote about at great length in your book, man. You know, when you consider how loyal black voters have been to the Democratic Party. I had this clip from Charles Barkley I play on the show, and Charles Barkley, basically, he was talking on CNN as if he read your book, because he basically just said, we show up and just blindly vote Democrat in every election, things are going to get better. He's like, and we're sitting here 4 decades later and nothing's gotten better. So it's almost like you really are taken for granted, as a wise man once said.
Yeah, and the book is called Taking for Granted, How Conservatism Can Win Back the Americans Liberalism Failed.
Yep.
And I'll tell you, mm-hmm. I think what Charles Barkley said was absolutely true and accurate. And when we see that for all these years, 50, 60 years, all these decades, voting for one-party rule, and I think black folks have been waking up to it, to the degree that people like Joe Biden said, okay, it's time to bring in the migrants. We need the replacement voters.
Yeah.
You know, like
that's
amazing. This is where we're going with it.
The one thing I'm fascinated by with this president that I want to give him credit for is this guy is flying in, I mean, tens of thousands of migrants a month. I can't get a flight to take off on time. Biden's getting planes in and out of Caracas into my airport. No delays. You never hear about the migrant flight delays. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's amazing. I don't know who they know. None of my flights take off. You miss every connection. But if you're a migrant, you fly anywhere you want in the country.
It's private.
Give me this one. The Trump trial's going on. It's a little ridiculous. Now, this is very superficial analysis, okay? But do you think anyone really cares, genuinely cares what Trump did with Stormy Daniels? Meaning, you know, I guess he's on trial because he paid her by check, and Stormy Daniels usually gets paid in singles. Do you think anybody cares? I mean, what are we talking about here? It happened in like 2015, Gianno. Do you think anyone looking at crime or inflation of the border is like, but more importantly, you know?
Right, exactly. And I gotta tell you, I listen to the likes of people like Jonathan Turley mm-hmm. For a lot of my legal advice, yep. And he continues to say that that this is the weakest case.
Yeah.
And they're bootstrapping really misdemeanors to make them felonies to really push this out. So, I mean, I think what's going to be really intriguing, do people care? People care to some extent. They care to the point that they think that it's lawfare. Mm-hmm. They think that Joe Biden's literally prosecuting his political opponent. So that, with that consideration in mind, that's what people are caring about. But these, even though like the salacious allegations, doesn't seem to hold water when it comes to real legal experts on this issue.
Yeah, and that's what's fascinating. We're talking to Gianno Caldwell, Fox News contributor, author of Taken for Granted. You should all check it out. Is when you look at the case on the merits, you're like, all right, not only is it absurd, but then you look at this other nugget, okay? They're upgrading this misdemeanor, okay, in order to bring the case against Trump. But Alvin Bragg has downgraded every other violent misdemeanor in this city. Like, no one goes to jail anymore. Like, if you were playing the woke board game Monopoly, no one has to go to jail, and you don't actually have to buy property. You can just squat in the houses now. It's bananas. So I think there's a real tell here for anyone paying attention, and I don't know that everyone is paying attention, but I think people who aren't actually gravitating towards the Democrat side of this argument because, as you said, the case is just absurd. Last thing I'll throw at you, it's Thursday. It's Thirsty Thursday. What state are you in? You're always somewhere else when we get on the phone. Where are you?
I'm currently in Miami.
Oh, you're in Miami?
Yes, sir.
Oh, good for you. I'm in New York getting pickpocketed by a migrant street gang. You have all the good times. I'm like, they're coming to pickpocket me last night. I'm like, you're out of luck. Somebody already got me on the way to work. Sorry.
They said, we'll take those shoes instead.
Yeah, they went to shoes. So you see Jimmy walking around in his socks. That's why. Now, Thursday night in Miami, that's a winner, Giano. That's a winner. Well, let me know when you're coming to New York, because I've been promising people you're going to do my TV show when you're in town, so don't make me look bad.
Yeah, I mean, I've been calling you, asking. I'm reaching out to everybody, the producers.
No, you're not. Like, don't you dare say that.
No,
that's not true.
He treated me like a guy that's after a girl, and he's trying to get with her. She's like, I promise, just take me on another shopping spree, and one day we'll
Giano,
get there.
Whoa. If that's the deal, I haven't gotten a single shopping spree, so let's back it up a second. Let's roll tape.
Send me your Cash App.
You're the best, man. Have a big weekend. I love you, brother.
You too, brother. I love you too.
The great Giano Caldwell. There he goes. Sounded like I was going shopping there for a minute. I'll sign up for that. Good goodness. But Giano, his book, Taken for Granted, it actually came out 3 years ago. But it's a phenomenal book because it basically outlines the last five decades of inner city life in this country. Democrats kept subsidizing poverty in return for support from the black community. And all of these entitlement programs didn't actually make the quality of life better. It made it exponentially worse. But it guaranteed them a voting base, which is the issue.
This is politics as usual.
But you don't need to take Giano's word for it as a Fox News guy or my word for it as a Fox News guy. Here's Charles Barkley on CNN.
The reason I think the Democratic Party and Mr. Biden, President Biden, is losing black votes is they only care about black people every 4 years. They come into our neighborhoods and say, we're going to make stuff better. We're going to do this. And then finally, us black people are like, yeah, man, other than my ability to dunk a basketball, all my neighborhoods are still the same. Our schools are still the same. And that's why I think black people are leaving disappointed in the Democratic Party, because I ain't going to lie. I voted Democratic every time just because I thought it was going to help black people and poor people. Because black people and poor white people, they're in the same boat.
Yep. And that's Charles Barkley. And I voted because I thought they were going to help. Okay? But they didn't help. And there's nothing on the table that's about to help. What they're actually doing to the black community right now is dumping all the migrants in their inner cities.
But Buenos Dias.
Buenos Dias.
And then what will they do for the remainder of the election cycle? You're not actually going to get an improved economy. We were just told mortgage rates are expected to hit 8% next month. Do you understand? Middle class Joe, Scranton Joe, has made homeownership unaffordable. 50% of the homeowners in this country could not have purchased the home they're living in if the interest rate was the one we're dealing with right now. Do you understand? Like me, Jenny, and Lincoln, the house we live in, we bought that at 4.3%. We were eventually able to refinance it at 3.7%. Okay? I don't know what yours is. If it's lower than that, good for you. But understand, okay, the mortgage payment that we were saddled with when we purchased that home, which required us to work four full-time jobs between us just to get in the door, that mortgage payment would have been about $3,000 a month higher. $3,000 a month!
That is financial lunacy.
And that's what's happening to mortgages right now under Biden. Now you tack on inflation. And go ask me how somebody in the inner city that might even be dependent on some type of government entitlement program is going to get their feet on the ground, knowing that all of these resources are now being diverted to migrants. The point is, okay, Democrats talk a really good game about how everybody's a dirtbag but them. It's a white supremacist nation. We're systemically racist. But at the end of the day, they've never once in the last five decades delivered on any of these promises.
Democrats just call everyone racist so they go along with their stupid ideas.
It's America's number one radio lunch date.
Get your hands out of my fries.
Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Buy your own damn fries.
There it is. Fox Across America. Your main man, Jimmy Failla. Now, I know a lot of you, it's Thursday. You're sitting around. You got young kids. And you're wondering, what are the drag queens? A drag queen story hour saying about the protests. I know a lot of you are wondering about that.
Shut up, fool!
No! Well, to be fair, I wasn't wondering either. But lo and behold, yesterday in Amherst, Massachusetts, you know, I got a lot of protests going up there in that part of the neck of the woods. You got Yale and Connecticut and Harvard up there in Massachusetts, everything. I'll be in Massachusetts Saturday night, May 18th. I am at the, oh my goodness gracious, the Schubert in Boston. That's an away game, okay? Taking my conservative butt up to Massachusetts.
Are you stupid or something?
No, I'm a comedian. I'm just having a good time. But up in Amherst, Massachusetts yesterday, this video going viral for all the wrong reasons, okay? Families who take their toddlers to a drag show. Families taking their toddlers to a drag show.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
Are treated to a call and repeat from the drag queen telling the kids to chant Free Palestine. Here it is, clip 24.
Today what we're going to do is we're going to shout Free Palestine. Can I hear that?
Free Palestine!
If you're a drag queen and you know it, shout
Free Palestine! Free Palestine!
If you're a drag queen and you know it and you really want to show it, you're a drag queen and you know it, shout
Free Palestine!
Excellent.
I mean,
thank you for the education, gentlemen. We've just received a PhD in stupidity.
I mean, that's a drag queen saying to a room of little toddlers, boys and girls, if you're a drag queen and you know it, shout Free Palestine. I promise you guys, this is the dumbest time there's ever been to be alive. I'm not disparaging drag queens. Go watch a drag show. I've seen drag shows. Some of them are really funny. Okay, but you know what I've never seen at a drag show up until like a year ago? Toddlers, infants, little kids. Okay, this isn't about normalizing drag or there's been some wave of attacks on drag. There are a lot of people on the left that want to sexualize children. That's why DeSantis banned books for third graders that were porn. Porn. He couldn't read them on TV because they were porn. Do you understand? And then they're like, oh, he's banning books. What kind of dirtbag would the ban the books? This is
Democrats are so full of crap.
But understand this, okay? He was banning books that couldn't be read on TV because they were too pornographic in nature. So you understand, like, when you see this whole, the drag queen thing, what the hell? Why does a toddler have to go to a drag show unless you want to sexualize children? There's no reason for them to be there. We're not trying to, like, normalize relations. Okay, anybody who thinks, understand this. Anybody who thinks that we should be teaching sex to little kids shouldn't be around little kids. That bottom line, straight up, full stop. Anybody who tells you, oh, DeSantis is wrong. These third graders, they should be reading the porn.
That's not right.
No, they shouldn't, you idiots.
Stop bringing little kids to drag shows, you perverts.
I forgot that one. Lincoln Failla, I'll say it again.
Stop bringing little kids to drag shows, you perverts.
I mean, really, who the hell is bringing their two-year-old to see Cinnabons? Okay, a dirtbag. That's who. We're going to get into this. Brooke Singman's coming up. We'll report from the Trump trial and an exclusive piece of information next.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Is it ever? And we are fired up in this hour to bring you some more top shelf radio. In a bottom-feeding political world. We got a Trump trial going on in Lower Manhattan. Biden is reading the stage direction on the teleprompter. We just got a report about mortgage rates that will lead to a golden age of people selling pictures of their feet on OnlyFans.
What the hell did you just say?
The country's a mess, but we will get out the radio mop and try to clean it up in the next hour. 888-788-9910. If you want a piece of the action, Brooke Singman, who is down in Lower Manhattan covering the Trump trial, will be joining us in studio with an exclusive courtesy of the House Judiciary Committee. So we'll get to that in this hour as Brooke joins us to get us up to speed on the goings-on. While Trump is, of course, on trial, there is also a dueling argument at the Supreme Court over presidential immunity. And then, of course, there's a judge weighing in on whether or not he violated his gag order. It's a real complicated mess out there. And I will tell you this, man. As someone who gets on the air every day and is just like, hey, what if we just, like, I don't know, fought the right battles for a change? You know, I was heartened yesterday at the end of the show by a poll I saw that showed that we're prioritizing the right issues as voters. Okay, people do consider the border. They do consider the economy. They do consider safety. They do consider education. They do consider the cost of gas. They consider that, inflation, top five priorities, top six priorities, meaning the voter, the person, the human who lives in this country is focused on the right things. Okay, the challenge in this moment is the people who are actually in government that are supposed to be doing our bidding. Is that happening?
The answer would be no.
No. Okay, we're engaged in political show trials, which, again, you don't have to like Trump. You could hate Trump. You're welcome to listen to the show and hate Trump. It's fine. Okay? Like, I'd have you on the show if you hated Elvis. Well, to be honest with you, I probably wouldn't. I don't know that I'd have you on the show if you hated Elvis. Elvis, the king of rock and roll, and the man deserves your respect.
Tell him like it is.
Okay, but the point is you could hate Trump. You could hate a politician. I'm not here one way or the other to steer your vote. I'm just here to host a talk show, have an honest conversation about you, and try to create some buy-in to the idea that this rising tide could lift all boats someday. Country's not doing that right now. The country's a disaster because everybody's rooting for their political party a lot harder than they're rooting for the country. And that's why you wind up in the zero-sum game where one party wins but everybody loses. Okay, Biden winning the presidency is a disaster, okay, because you've got a bunch of people in the White House who have their heads completely up their asses.
I'm Kamala Harris, and I approve this message.
Okay, I don't doubt that she does. But understand the things we're prioritizing, I mean, not even top five priorities. Like, if you ask the average American voter, hey, is sending $90 billion more to Ukraine a top five priority?
The answer would be no.
Nope. Climate change, Biden's considering the idea of declaring a climate emergency. Do you know where climate change polls with voters? 13th. So does that make it a top five priority?
The answer would be no.
No, this is a disaster. But the money they're spending on climate change, okay, they're spending in the name of inflation reduction.
What a fraud.
Biggest climate bill in the history of this country was called the Inflation Reduction Act. Except there's only one small problem. Does it lower inflation? It's gone up since the bill was passed. So you understand, we're fighting a lot of the wrong battles. And it's good that we know what the priorities are. But we don't discuss the priorities. Like in political talk radio, it drives me crazy. Because most of the airtime this week will be eaten up by the Trump trial. It'll be eaten up by what the protest at the college campuses. And rightfully so. I mean, it's dramatic. There's a lot going on. But neither of those two things affect your economy, your border, the affordability of groceries, or the safety of your family. So, yeah, you know, the whole if it bleeds, it leads, the sensationalism is always going to sell. But if you're actually on the air like me, a true diamond in the rough, it's not a nice diamond. It wouldn't look good under a gem loop, but I'm telling you I am a diamond in the rough in that regard. I'm actually just trying to have, like, conversations that might help us out because it's just dumb. And in this hour, it's about to get a hell of a whole lot dumber, unfortunately. I wish I could promise you a smoother ride, but not today. Okay, here's the financial report that I mentioned earlier. According to Mortgage News Daily, okay, mortgage rates touched 7.5% in April. 7.5%. They're expected to go up even higher. Okay, so we could grow as high as 8% by the summer. Now, why is that significant? because that would change the payment on your mortgage if you're trying to buy a house right now by hundreds of dollars, if not thousands of dollars, depending on where you live. The home I live in with Jenny, okay, we bought this home in let me get this right. I started here writing for Kennedy in 2017, so we bought it the following year, 2018. Okay, in 2018, our mortgage payment on the first house we bought was very, for us, expensive. Maybe it won't sound expensive to you, but it was about $4,800 a month. That was my mortgage. Now, dude, I was working multiple full-time jobs. My wife was working multiple full-time jobs, and we wanted to own a house, you know, if renting one for 9 years, and I was a cab driver and a comedian. But the house we bought, okay, initially, before we refinanced it, we were paying $4,800 a month. Do you understand with the current interest rate being literally double of what I paid then? Okay, that mortgage payment would be closer to $8,000.
That's true. That is true.
Okay, which also means Jenny and I wouldn't own that home. So understand how many Americans in this moment are being denied homeownership. Something that you actually use to build wealth and equity. Okay, is beyond the grasp of most homebuyers. 50% of American homebuyers could not afford the home they were living in if they had to buy it in today's mortgage rates. Okay, do we talk about these mortgage rates at all anywhere?
The answer would be no.
No, but that's more consequential to you than anything. Okay, if you were trying to save for retirement someday, what's one of the biggest impediments is, you know, trying to get your mortgage debt out of the way because it's going to eat up so much of your resources if you're living on a fixed income. Okay, but now we're living in a world where people aren't ever even going to have a mortgage if these are the rates. Okay, it's not to say they can't come down. It's not to say we can't have somebody in Washington that does a better job of handling the economy. It just means the current guy in there is terrible.
I agree with that.
I don't know that Obama does. But he should if we're having an honest conversation. This is terrible. Do you know what else is going on right now around the country? And this is where policies matter. Okay, Trump shagging Stormy Daniels, okay? I know that's making for great TV over at CNN, okay? That Trump had sex with a porn star.
Oh, yes. I've read about that in the Bible.
He did. He also had sex with a Playboy playmate and then bought her silence, okay? But understand this, okay? That is reality, and that might not sit well with a lot of the evangelicals and the, you know, stuff like that, and I get it, okay? But understand, at the same time, there's a lot of people that aren't okay with Trump's behavior that just want policies that make life better for us in this country. They're not co-signing every word that comes out of the guy's mouth so much as they want to get back to a world where we prioritize border security, minimizing the tax burden on the middle class, which is what the Trump tax cuts did. And, oh, I don't know, maybe projecting some peace through strength on the world stage so we don't wind up financing both sides of like three different wars. Okay, for all the money we spend to Ukraine, they're only getting invaded because of Biden's energy policy, which made Putin so rich, he had the disposable income to invade Ukraine. For all the money we're giving Israel, okay? They're only getting attacked by the Hamases of the world, by Iran, because our domestic energy policy took Iran from $4 billion in oil reserves to $71 billion in oil reserves. Do you understand? By default, we're enabling the financial side of both wars. I mean,
country is being destroyed by stupid people, by very stupid people.
Okay, then you look at a border that's resulted in a record level of fentanyl poisoning deaths. Like, this is actually bad. It's actually consequential for you. But what are we talking about? Ah, Trump nailed a porn star.
I love it when you talk dirty.
Okay, it's absurd. Okay, and it's absurd not because I believe some people are above the law and other people aren't. It's absurd because every legal analyst, including the ones at CNN, say there's no precedent for this and the case doesn't hold up. I'll give you Jonathan Turley here at Fox first, just so we're all on the same page. And then you can hear the CNN take, which, to be honest with you, is painstakingly honest. Here is Turley, clip 12.
It's getting more and more embarrassing. You know, today they suggested there's a second crime, another dead misdemeanor that they're zapping back into life, saying that Trump illegally conspired to promote his own election. And it's you sort of get your mind around that. Even if everything that they stated is proven to be true factually, all of the, you know, the payment of the non-disclosure agreement, the recording of it in this way, that's not being really that contested because all of that can be true and there would still be no crime. And that's what has left many of us mystified that the judge is letting this get by.
It's a scam. Okay, now that's a Fox News analyst. So some of you might be like, hey, whoa, Jimmy, of course the Fox News guy's going to say that. Nobody else is saying that, Jimmy. That's just Fox.
Wrong.
Here is Jed Sugarman over at CNN, clip 9.
There's no reported case. I've checked the records of state cases. There's no state case that shows a state prosecutor using the Federal Election Campaign Act, which is really the crime that the prosecutors are alleging here, a federal election violation, federal campaign filing violation, as the basis, either directly or indirectly, for any crime. So that is a first example of what's unprecedented here. And this is not just a coincidence. There are good reasons why a federal prosecutor has complete control to the exclusion of the states for enforcing something as complicated as the Federal Election Campaign Act.
So that's a CNN legal analyst. Now, he'll probably never get booked on the channel again. But there he is, flat out admitting this is unprecedented. This case should not be brought. So we're going to spend all week in this country fighting over a case that even legal scholars at CNN agree should not have been brought. Okay, that is an abuse, a perversion of justice, and it makes a lot of people lose faith in our justice system, which in the long run is really done at the detriment of the country. But why are they doing that, Jimmy? What's going on? What's the deal? Why? You've heard everybody tell you. They say, well, you know, they're just going after Trumps. They can't beat him at the ballot box. You know, I don't know that that's the case. Okay, but they definitely absolutely positively hate him with all the fiber in their being and don't want him anywhere near the levers of power again. I do know that. So, yes, you'd make the case that it was a political persecution, which I often have. But the bigger issue for them is that their policies in blue states right now are so bad, are so destructive that blue states, I will read you this, okay, places like California, okay, places like New York might consider this. Places like Illinois might consider this. They're now floating the idea of an exit tax. An exit tax. So here's a joke you might have heard me tell a billion times. Seriously. Now, sometimes when you're a comic, you have a quick brain. You know a lot of jokes. You find yourself on live TV. Someone brings up a subject you didn't think you were going to hear. Bang! The joke flies right out of your face. And everybody's like, you're good, man. Wow! How are you so quick? You're like, well, you know. It's just, it's there in your brain. It's like a license plate reader. That's what being a comic on live TV is. You got to move. So you understand, you've probably heard me say in the past, making fun of The View, I'm like, ah, The View, tickets to The View, 25 to get in and 100 to get out. But the point is, what are you basically saying? The place sucks so bad you could charge people more to leave than you did to get in. Okay, that's a joke that I've made on TV probably a billion times. Seriously, I'm not kidding. Like if I said that joke on TV in front of my wife, I'd go, oh, that's a new one. And she'd die laughing because she knows you've said it before. That's comedy, okay? It's like doing your act. But understand this, okay? That was meant as a joke. That is now a policy in a place like California. Okay? They're charging you money to leave. The states suck so bad, they're having such a hard time holding on to tax revenue that they're having to charge the people who no longer live there, in order to keep the tax coffers full because their spending is that far out of control. Okay, their regulatory burden is that far out of control, their tax threshold that far out of control that people are just flat out fleeing the state and now they're charging them. Do you remember the lyric in the Hotel California, you can check out anytime you want, but you can never leave? I mean, we're probably getting sued for that because I'm not allowed to talk about music on the show. There it went. We were having a good show today. Everything was going great. And
he should be behind bars.
But the idea, okay, that they're charging people to leave their states. Okay? These are the people that want another 4 years in charge of the government. So they can enact 4 more years of policies that are so good, they've got to charge people to get out. I'm telling you because I care. Okay? The people running blue states are a bunch of morons.
You're absolutely right.
Watch Jimmy's new show Saturday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern on Fox News Channel.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. If you're listening on WDBO down in Florida, you know I'm going to be in your hood on Mother's Day, May the 12th. It's a Sunday. I'm going to have my mom, I'm going to have Jenny's mom, I'm going to have Jenny Failla in the house. It's a 5 p.m. special show for moms. You should book, get a couple of tickets for your mom if you love her. Or if you don't love her, actually, if she raised you terribly and you're like, you know what, this is payback. You got to watch Jimmy Failla's act at 5 in the afternoon. But it's the Plaza Live. It is Sunday, May the 12th, down in Mother's Day. The May 11th show in Sarasota, probably sell out any second now. Plenty of seats available on Mother's Day. My goodness gracious. You could probably perform on that show if you play your cards right. But that is Sunday, May the 12th, the Plaza Live in Orlando, Florida. Right now, we are up in New York, New York. Trump trial resuming after a brief adjournment. They're coming back from their lunch break, and we're going to get an exclusive report from Brooke Singman in the next break. She has, courtesy of the House Judiciary Committee, a special kernel of information you won't hear anywhere else on the Fox platforms because we got it like that. If you book a reporter on your show, we need something to report. You can't just show up here like the other Fox talent and yell at me for eating too much.
Put that cookie down now!
So Brooke will be here, and we will get into the fact that this trial, man, it's so bananas. The star witness on day three is the star witness from day two and the star witness from day one, David Pecker, who is the publisher of The Inquirer. When he's gone, okay, The Inquirer, you know, the one that says, like, Elvis and Oprah had a baby, okay? When he's done, okay, then they bring in Michael Cohen, who's already been convicted of lying to the court.
You gotta do better than that.
The point is, it's just a dead end. And as you watch something like this and you look at the particulars, not from a Fox News lens, but just from any credible legal analyst lens, you realize this case shouldn't exist. But why did they bring the Bragg prosecution? He broke the dam of indictment. We had never indicted a president in the 247-year history of the country. Now Trump is getting indicted this year 91 times for things he could have been indicted for 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and 4 years ago. In the case of Stormy Daniels, 8 years ago. So the fact that the indictments are all being brought now in the middle of an election year.
This is politics as usual.
It sure is, but it's not going away anytime soon. So we will cover it. With an exclusive from Brooke Singman, who joins us in studio when we come back right here on the high-flying, death-defying, that is us, Fox Across America. Oh, girl. If the band sounds fired up, it's because they are. Joining us now, a superstar reporter, a friend of mine. Like, if this is a mafia movie, right? Okay. Let's say, like, it's a friend of ours, friend of mine. Okay. That means you're a made person in the cable news mafia.
Wow.
You would be, like, if this is Donnie Brasco. Like, you matter. I mean, you know her, you love her. I'm trying not to get emotional, so let me just bring her on. Brooke Singman is here. Hey, Brooke.
Jimmy, thanks
hey, girl.
For having
and
me.
And the crowd goes wild.
You can't even hear them because they're so loud.
Plus, the pyrotechnics went off when I said your name. We released the doves, which is always a little distracting. But you're here.
I'm here.
The
Thanks
world's
for
a better
having
place.
Me.
Well, this matters. This is a campaign promise we've been making to each other forever.
Yes.
Because we'd always, we became friends on Fox and Friends first. So we'd go
5
on TV. Yeah, like 5 a.m. But you should come do my radio show. You'd be like,
I didn't know if I was having a dream, honestly, Jimmy. I didn't know if it was a dream. I would wake up and go, I wonder, did that really happen? And guess what? I'm here.
You're
or
here.
Is this a dream? I
You're
don't
here.
Really know.
That's funny. Yeah, that's funny. But maybe that's why it took a minute. Neither one of us knew if it was a real conversation.
Exactly.
But you're here and you're reporting on like 812 different trials. It's kind of a busy day for you.
Yeah.
Where do we even start, Brooke? You're the star. You're the person. I'm just the guy.
You're the person. Thanks for having me here with you. You know what, Jimmy? I don't know where to begin.
I guess we can
start from the beginning of the day.
you're like,
if
I
you
had
want.
An omelet.
So,
I had a protein shake. I did Pilates.
No, I wish. No time for that. I had a piece of very soggy toast.
Is that true?
Honestly, yeah. It wasn't toasted. I asked for it toasted. It wasn't toasted. But it gave me the energy we needed to begin the day. You had former President Trump 6 a.m. Uh-huh. on Park Avenue. I mean, he could have been asleep getting ready to go to his criminal trial or, you know, preparing to imagine what was happening at the Supreme Court because he was not allowed to go. The judge in this New York case said, no way, you got to come to my New York Supreme Court instead. So he woke up at 6 a.m., went and spoke to some construction workers on 48th and Park. Like, there's
the J.P. Morgan building or something?
Yep, a lot of construction going on there. Wow. Actually, speaking of J.P. Morgan, they were the last bank to shutter their doors on Wall Street. So now Wall Street kind of is on Park Avenue.
Is that
so,
yeah. They moved up.
All the banks are on Park Avenue.
So now I can't get a table at Bobby Vance, which is not true. They love me. The guys are on Bobby Vance.
You can
like
go
Fox.
Anywhere you want.
Hey, girl.
Exactly.
So Trump gets what kind of reception from the construction workers?
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, he was greeted very warmly, very early in the morning by the construction workers. And of course, he talked about the city, rebuilding New York, and again, discussing what he had to face today, which was a lot and even a little more than he probably expected.
A little more. Okay, so I told the listeners this. There was a Brooke exclusive coming our way. Something tweeted from the House Judiciary GOP. What did they say?
Oh, yeah, actually.
The exclusive thing you promised America for 3 hours.
That was hours ago. No, you know what happened? The House Judiciary Committee has been, well, Republicans led by Chairman Jim Jordan. He has been leading this investigation into whether politics influenced the prosecutorial decisions out of this Manhattan DA, Alvin Bragg's office. They released a 300-page report today, which I was able to get an advanced copy of, went through. We broke the news, and they have determined, yes, politics, they use the word infected, the prosecutorial decisions coming from that office. So they led their oversight investigation into how law enforcement funds were being, you know, used, because as Congress, they have that oversight responsibility. So Jordan and his committee said that, yes, you know, Bragg was influenced by politics. Okay. They reflected on the fact that the federal prosecutors in 2019 decided not to charge Trump out of this alleged hush money payment arrangement. And he said that Bragg was actually pressured by a former lower level prosecutor who resigned from the DA's office, who wrote a book when he resigned, when Bragg initially had said, you know, he was kind of wary of bringing these charges.
Yeah, he didn't want to do it himself.
Right. So the lower prosecutor wrote a book. He said, kind of made the case for why he should prosecute Trump. And of course, as we know, last year Bragg indicted him. And as we know, Trump is in his criminal trial day 7, I believe, today.
That is insane. Brooke Singman is in studio. She can't get a cooked piece of toast, but she can get an exclusive from the House Judiciary Committee.
It's true.
Jim Jordan was on the show yesterday. He comes on the show a lot. And the one fascinating aspect to like the position they find themselves in right now is we've been saying like, oh, it's a political persecution. It doesn't seem like legit, but they're on the actual factual side of this where they have to go paper trail it.
Right.
But the paper trail hits the same fork that the rest of us hit as analysts. It's that this case probably wouldn't be brought if this was not an election year. Is that kind of your takeaway? What do you got?
I can't make that takeaway because I'm just here to bring you the facts.
Yeah, you're just a reporter.
But
I
will say that that's what a lot of legal analysts on both sides of the aisle are saying. I mean, Jonathan Turley just made a really interesting point on the channel. And
Turley's
awesome. And he just said something, you know, this case, it's got to be really confusing for the jury, right? Yeah. Like, we can't wrap our heads fully around it because these charges, these 34 counts of falsifying business records, those are typically misdemeanor charges. But Bragg has to make a case to the jury that those alleged falsified records actually were in furtherance of another crime, which was election conspiracy. Right. They mentioned it very briefly the other day. But Jonathan Turley just said, you know, Michael Cohen, who will be the prosecution's star witness, who is a convicted person for making false statements, he has to sit on the stand and tell the jury that Trump did something wrong. But really, Turley said, whatever Trump did was at the direction of Cohen, his lawyer at the time. So that's crazy.
So
but
Michael Cohen has to testify that Trump's a criminal for following Michael Cohen's advice.
Right. That was the Turley point.
This is the dumbest time there's ever been to be alive.
It's crazy.
I know you have a lot of information you can give me, but it's so stupid. Like to borrow from the current president, we need to pause. Okay, we need to pause for a second because that's insanity. Brooke Singman is in studio. Okay, now we've got this Supreme Court argument going on. Then we got, I guess there was an appeal in the E. Jean Carroll case.
Yes.
And Trump actually has to pay the full $80
million
for that.
$83.3 million. Wow. The federal judge rejected their motion for a new trial. So uh-huh. he had wanted a new trial, saying that basically, just to explain, that E. Jean Carroll case, you know, she accused him of raping her. Mm-hmm. The reason he has to pay $83.3 million is not, right,
not
it's not
that.
Because he allegedly raped her, because the jury did not rule that he did.
Yes.
Instead, he has to pay her for defamation. And his lawyers argued, wait a second, we need a new trial. Yeah. This man was defending himself against false allegations made against him, and he has to pay $83 million. But you know what? Federal judge rejected their motion for a new trial and said, hey, you got to cough up that $83.3 million, which is on top of, you know, the $175 million that they put up in the New York Attorney General's case.
Dough. Yeah. Like, he almost shouldn't run for president. He should just become a golf hustler.
No, he can't do that. No way. He would never. But he does like the golf course.
He likes his golf.
He does.
Trump man likes his golf.
He does.
We're talking to Brooke. Another thing, because it's all of it is like, it's so crazy. The question I have, and this is not, you know, you don't need to have your factual reporting hat on here. We're just spitballing now, okay? We're bunkmates in prison.
Yeah.
It's opening day. Okay, I've decided after my conviction that I identify as a woman. They've put me in your cell. Okay, that's just the way this bunk conversation is going to go.
Good.
My question for you is, as a reporter who walked in here and is like, gosh, I've got so much to keep track of. Is there any way the average person can keep up with this?
I don't know. I mean, really, like you just reminded me of the exclusive that I just broke an hour ago. But you know what? Since I was like, what is he talking? Oh, right, that. Yeah. That 300 pages. No. I mean, since then, seven other things have happened. Of course, you've got the criminal trial going on. And as I told you before, we went back to air, the Justice Department just wrote to Congress saying they will not produce audio recordings of the interview with President Biden and special counsel Robert Hur in that classified records case. Congress had been warning to hold Attorney General Merrick Garland in contempt. And they say, we're not turning it over. That's it. But that just happened before
like
we came
ago.
On, like a second ago.
Now, you understand, what Brooke is speaking to is that the Hur report is the one where he decided not to charge Biden on the basis that they would perhaps a jury would see him as like an elderly man with a poor memory.
Sympathetic, well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory. I may have written that sentence a few times. but yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
But that audio, which might even corroborate that claim, won't be released.
No, it won't. Well, that's what the DOJ will not release it on their own accord. They were it was subpoenaed, so we'll see what House Republicans do with that. But yeah, back to your point. How does anybody follow this? I mean, there's so much information constantly from all different angles.
Yeah.
You can't follow it.
No, this is real fire hose stuff.
Yeah.
This is real, like, legit fire hose stuff. So there's nobody that's processing this. Thankfully, we have experts like yourself to break it down for us.
We should try.
But hey, but even so, we're a little overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Last but not least, are you going away? Is that what you told me? Is this shareable information?
I hope so. But you know what? Based on the fact that the former president's going to speak at 4:30.
Oh,
I don't know.
Guess who's not making her flight?
Guess who may
news.
Not. Exactly. That's the breaking news today. But no, we got to keep an eye on that. He is going to speak to reporters when he finishes up day, seven of this criminal trial. We'll see what else happens.
What's so crazy to that is this is the election. Because there are so many other cases out there.
Totally.
Like, that's the part of this that's so nuts is we will be doing this all summer.
Oh, absolutely. Summer?
I know.
We'll have our corporate clothes, but no tan. But no, I mean, it's true. He always says, former President Trump always says, you know, these Democrats are trying to keep me confined to a courtroom so I can't campaign. But this is his campaign, isn't it?
Yeah, this
not?
Is it. Yes. I mean, and that's another great point you make, though, is everybody who's like, well, it's no fair because Biden can campaign and Trump can't. Campaigning doesn't help Biden.
No,
campaigning is when he reads the teleprompter direction.
Right, or he made that gaffe that his uncle was eaten by a cannibal, and now the president of Papua New Guinea says, you know, how could you associate my people with cannibalism?
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. Uh-huh. It's
It's wild.
It's interesting. It's wild to watch. I mean, to be able to be mm-hmm. a political reporter yeah, in yeah. this state of this country's politics, I mean, it's well, in college, people said, you're going to do politics? That's so boring. Why don't you do entertainment? I'm like, it's one and the same
come
now.
Come on, girlfriend.
Is it not?
It's all the same now.
Exactly.
It's totally the same. Exactly. And just think about it. You have a starring role in
you.
The series finale of America.
Oh,
I mean, think about that. Oh, it's like
God.
You're season six of The Sopranos, but
hey,
for the show America.
You know what? Speaking of The Sopranos, when you said that I was in a mob with you, I just started The Sopranos for the first time.
Don't you dare.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe it. I'm obsessed.
Well, Drea DiMatteo, who plays Adriana, Christopher yeah. Moltisanti's girlfriend.
Yes.
She was on my Saturday Night TV show. She's really cool.
She is. I mean, I think I'm like four episodes in. I'm
such
a loser.
I went to Carmine's with her.
You did?
Yeah, we
you
lived
went
the
to
greatest
Carmine's?
Night. I know.
Did
we
you have the penne alla vodka?
We did not have the penne alla vodka,
Caesar
but
salad.
They put everything else on the table. You could order at Carmine's to make it theatrical.
Why was I not invited?
That's a thing. We'll talk about it off the air.
All
okay,
right.
But we got to work on it, Brooke. This is step one.
Step
okay,
one.
Okay, we bring you onto the show as like a vetting process.
Right.
I can't just go to Carmine's. You might act a fool. I don't know how you roll. With
you,
a Merlot in you.
But you feel bad for me because I had soggy toast, and if we go to Carmine's, it'll be nice crispy Italian bread.
It would
you kind of feel
Italian
bad.
Italian bread.
Yeah.
But as a guy who hosts a two-hour show from the red carpet the Saturday night, I can't have any toast. They're like, what is that, carbs? I get
oh,
fine.
Oh, stop. Pasta diet.
Thank
it's the
you.
Best. Go on the pasta diet.
Brooke is a bad life coach for me, and we're going to let her go now. This was epic.
It was amazing.
We got to do it again.
I would love to.
There she goes, Brooke Sigmund, everybody. The crowd goes wild. We're back after this.
The critics have spoken.
Well, that was different. Yep, lousy, but different.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Final broadcast of the week in New York City. I am heading down to the D.C. Swamp. It is the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I will be live from the red carpet from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. this Saturday night. President Biden is going to speak. Colin Jost from Saturday Night Live, good dude. He is going to headline the dinner. And I will, of course, be on the red carpet talking to all your Fox favorites, a lot of celebrities, a lot like, you know, like the Kardashians go to something like this. Like, it's pretty wild. So, you know, it's a cool look. I've done TV from there the last 2 years. Like, they've had me do, like, a correspondent hit where, like, you go out to the red carpet and you're like, everybody's hammered or, you know, something stupid and they go to commercial. But this is me hosting the whole Barnyard Jamboree for 2 hours. Fox decided to hand me the keys to the channel.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
I agree. Now, joining me now is somebody who might not agree. Michael is on the road. He's in Indianapolis. I'll be there June 1st. Michael!
Hey, happy thirsty Thursday, my
ooh,
good man.
Now you're talking.
For Jimmy's response.
Ha ha! Good job, Biden. It is not a thirsty Thursday for me. I got to get down to D.C. I can't tell you there won't be a bar in the hotel lobby at the Hilton, but
oh my gosh!
This
a
is war.
Our live show on Saturday night, moving on up. I must say, right?
Yeah, that's a big look. Like tomorrow, we'll be filming at the White House, like the actual White House, and you know, we have other people to interview and stuff like that. So it's pretty intense,
wow.
Man. It's some big boy responsibility for a guy who was hanging out with you in a lobby bar 2 weeks ago.
I see how you can put them down. So look,
Stop it.
Y'all going to give out Jell-O shots, hoping to get them all liquored up and spill the beans on camera?
Is that the angle? That's funny. And that's why Michael's a caller and not my producer. Because my producer knows better than to discuss that on the air. You just give him out, Michael. You know, now I can't give him out. Whose side are you on?
Oh man!
Nah, it'll be fun. It's gonna be great, man. It's gonna be pretty rowdy. For me, as you know, I'm the same as you. Like this stuff is so fun. You're too busy enjoying it to care. You know, we're not like, oh man, 2 hours at the Whiteout. We're just showing up and throwing a fastball, baby.
That's it, man. It's just like you're going to be up on stage, except the audience you're going to be in front of are a lot dumber than your audience.
That's funny. That's funny. Well, are you? Can I count on you for 1 hour of viewership, or are you going the distance?
1 hour? Are you kidding? I'm doing the whole thing. Every time somebody laughs at one of your jokes, I'm going to take a shot.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Poor Suzanne.
Well,
good God.
Oh, it's going to be a great night, buddy. I can't wait. You're going to kill it. I know you will. Come on.
And by it, you mean my career. I kid. Michael?
Well, that's right. Go out in a blaze of glory. It could be your last show.
He got thrown off the air at the White House. That's a way to do it. You're right. All right. If you see me out on the highway next week, you know I'm back to driving. I'm back in the family. Michael, we love you, man. Have a great weekend. Everybody listening. Okay, because it is kind of insane. As you sit here and talk to Michael about it, and we're doing all this White House access stuff and everything in between, there is a part of me that realizes it's like completely bananas that, you know, you really could be a taxi driver in New York City one day and going to the White House to host 2 hours of live TV on the biggest channel in cable news the next. I mean, it didn't quite happen that quickly. But you guys definitely powered this thing, so you better watch. Because this is, I've said this forever, and I know we've added a lot of new stations this year that haven't been here for 3 years, and, you know, we did that last year and the year before. You know, show's grown quite a bit. But the thing that has made this work is, you know, I always say I'm not the star of this thing. We are. It's our movement. Like, Fox recognized the potential for regular people, okay, to grow on a massive media platform like this one. Meaning everybody who works here at Fox is kind of like, if you meet them, they're cool. Like, you run into them at an airport or you go to one of their book signings, you'd be like, wow, they're cool. They're just like a regular person. They'll just like actually talk to me. They're not like a get the hell away from me TV person who wants nothing to do because they think they're better. Okay, we're very regular. Like, that's the superpower. But there's no one more regular than me because all these other people have like educations. They have like formal broadcast training. Okay, I've just kind of Kool-Aided my way into this. I just roller skated through the wall one day and started getting everybody doped up on all the sugary beverages. And now they have me on the air from the White House for 2 hours on Saturday night. So it's a really cool story, but it's a story that you should take a lot of pride in because it's a validation of who you are. It's a validation of who we are as a collective. So I'm out of here. But you better watch Saturday night, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. It's the Fox News Channel. It is me. It is everybody you know from the channel that you think is cool, which means no Gutfeld. But the show's over. Pay up. Get out. Go enjoy your unique American privilege. Watch the NFL drafter if you're into that sort of thing. But either way, be a Republican. Be a Democrat. Just don't be a
Jason in the House, the Jason Chaffetz Podcast. Dive deeper than the headlines and the party lines as I take on American life, politics, and entertainment. Subscribe now on foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.